Hello, hello, hello. I am your Elvira hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth.
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to.
Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo
Mouth. Got the goosebumps.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey there, and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Munoz, and you know what time it is. He did the mesh. He did the monster mesh. Yep, that's it. It is gay Christmas, gay New Year's. It's gay something, because this Halloween holiday is what made for the gays, people. Also, I want to go back a week, you know, take it back a week, and I'm still reeling from New York City Wine and Food Festival. I don't think you all understand, because In Yo Mouth listeners, because of the pandemic and just because of, you know, the way I handle all these interviews on the podcast, I meet my guests, but it's virtually, and one by one by one, all of them just came out of the woodwork during this food festival, and I got to meet a lot of people in person, from like the Grubfather to Chef Denovan to Chandler Borges to Papi and Papito. Shout out to you all out there. I'm still reeling, and it wasn't planned, and what a blessing, and what like a way to have like the universe say, you know, right time, right place, right? It just really warmed the cockles of my heart, and I really wanted to shout all these people out again, because I support them, obviously, and they, you know, live for me and support me as well. Other than that, back to he did the mash, he did the monster mash, the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. What is a graveyard smash? Is that like sex in the graveyard? Or are we just throwing a party down at the graveyard? I don't know, but I'm sure today's gaylebrity guest is sure to have an opinion. So without further ado, please help me welcome the one, the only host of the Bottoms Digest, Mr. Alex Hall. Say hi.
Hi.
How do you feel about a graveyard smash?
Sounds like a mess, to be Sounds like they need to tune in, because that does not sound like a hot time.
You know what? Like, the kids are, from what I hear, in scrolling through dirty Twitter, the kids are out in Central Park in the middle of the night getting it on. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're smashing up in the graveyard.
Totally. I mean, there's that big graveyard in Queens, too, that's not too far at all. Have you seen that one? It's, like, right outside of Manhattan. It's huge. Maybe.
Yes, there's a ton. I mean, what a morbid conversation.
I know. I love it. Right away. I mean, the Monster Mash has to be morbid, of course.
Right? Sexually morbid is what the Monster Mash was all about. Well, Alex, I can't thank you enough for being here. But before we get to the getting on, in the grand tradition of In Yo Mouth, I need to wish you happy National Potato Day.
Ooh, that's a good one. Everyone loves potatoes. Let's be honest.
Now, obviously, the first question I need to ask you is, are potatoes bottom friendly?
They are. It depends on what you mix in them. That's what really changes it up. But a sweet potato is the best.
Oh, okay.
Especially if you keep the skin on. If you keep the skin on, the fiber's higher, it's got more nutrients. But yeah, potatoes are definitely.
So what I'm hearing is we love our potatoes like we like our penis.
Yeah.
Uncircumcised. Full skin.
And funny enough, I buy potatoes too that aren't too girthy. So,
We are fully off to the races. Well, You are in luck, Alex, because it's also, I also need to wish you a happy National American Beer Day.
Oh, wow. I don't even know, like, what constitutes an American beer versus other ones.
I mean, yeah, I guess. Are you a beer drinker?
Sometimes, not too often. I like gin.
I'm a gin tequila girl myself.
Yes, gin tequila, big time. I like IPAs, but I feel like I ate a steak after like one of them. So
yes, and once again, eating a steak not bottle friendly.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Oh my God, what's your favorite way to make a potato? I kind of love a Hasselback.
Oh, I love Hasselback potatoes. That's a good one. So I actually like to make cheese sauces out of potatoes. So my bottom-friendly queso recipe, it is predominantly potato, and that kind of shocks people pretty often. So you can do all kinds of things with potato like that outside of the normal stuff. So I really love to get creative with it. I've made gravy out of potatoes before.
Yeah, I can see all of that because the starch, it's starch heavy. So, like, you know, the binding creaminess, thickening agent of it all.
Yeah,
know?
But I love making scallop potatoes too. Oh, yum.
Mmm, scallop potatoes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know what, In Your Mouth listeners, no matter what you celebrate out there, whether you're a beer girl, a potato girl, I don't even know where I'm going with this. We celebrate you today is all I'm trying to say. And moving right along to this day in gay history. Alex, did you know that in 1990, after 38 years on the books, a federal law prohibiting gay and lesbian foreigners from entering the U.S. is repealed by Congress?
Wow. That's wild I wish that was older of a law. That's crazy that law existed at all. Like, who was checking that?
Yes, I mean, and how was that being checked?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like, was there something in your passport?
pink triangles or did you leave a trail of glitter when you left the plane?
And wow. Like, at least Congress was getting something done.
Right?
In 1990.
But like, how weird is that? I didn't even know this was a thing.
Not at all. Oh my God. I couldn't imagine traveling to another country and being like, oh, well, you're gay, so you can't make it over there.
Well, you know what? Well, it's a thing, and I think it's still a thing. I know Peppermint tells a story. You know, our trans brothers and sisters often have a hard time, traveling.
Because of identification.
Because of identification, or they don't look like their IDs, or the laws and TSA, or the government of whatever country is like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I know Peppermint tells a very embarrassing story, or used to, about how she was like degraded. I forget where, maybe Germany or something. And they made her take off like the wig and everything.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Terrible. Couldn't imagine that.
Yeah, well, this is why this is important. I say it fairly often, that our history is not very well known and is also not that old. This was 1990, y'all. 1990.
I know, that's why I'm totally gagged by that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? I am glad that we can travel freely as homosexuals to most parts of the world, and that the borders are now opening up after the panini of it all.
Ugh.
And that's where I'm just going to leave that, because I really want to get to the getting on and let And get to the meat, right? Or the meat free that is Alex Hall and the, and the Bottoms Digest.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I knew you'd appreciate that.
Yes.
In Your Mouth listeners, I am sure you already know, but if you don't, and how dare you if you don't, born and raised in Houston, queen of the starving sluts himself, Alex Hall, is the self-proclaimed chief bottom officer in the kitchen. He is the host and producer of the very popular TikTok and YouTube series, The Bottoms Digest, which is a cooking show where he shares delicious, bottom-friendly recipes in a sex-positive environment. He wants to empower all beautiful bottoms to put themselves first and erase the idea that you can't eat before sex. Food and sex are the greatest pleasures, and he wants his large fan base to have lots and lots of both. The Bottoms Digest is there to stimulate your senses, help bottoms live a little more freely, and have definitely lots of fun.
Yes, you summed that up perfectly.
I mean, when I discovered you, I was like, this mofo, this queen over here is doing the thing. And that's kind of where I want to start today, of how did the Bottoms Digest come to be? Because In Your Mouth listeners, for the straight folks out there, you know, topping and bottoming, one is the giver and the bottom is the receiver. And, you know, like when you're having butt sex, you know, like there's a lot of preparation, mm-hmm. as we have learned from Dr. Carlton. Shout out to you, the butt doctor, Dr. Carlton. Out there, you can go back and listen to his episode. There's a lot of prep and there's a lot of things that go into bottoming, you know?
Absolutely.
So how did the Bottoms Digest come to be?
Yeah, so I love when I get asked this question. So I, one, am my customer. So I needed a solution for myself. But I am from Texas, but I lived in New York City. And when I lived in New York, I stopped buying meat because it was so expensive, and I immediately started to notice a difference in the bathroom, you know? And one of the things that also set me apart in New York is I actually cooked every day. I cooked all my meals. I never ate out. It was too expensive. And also, I think you said this on one of your episodes, like you would go out and get hit with the bill and be like, it wasn't that great. And
yeah, sometimes I hate paying for a bad meal. Oh my God.
And it's such a hit or miss in New York, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, you never know what you're getting into sometimes. But so I cook so much. I love it. And I, like, legit was in my apartment in New York. And I work as a graphic designer in the reproductive rights movement. And I like that work, but I was thinking while I was cooking in my kitchen, what am I going to do as like a forever career? And I, you know, started to immediately, like, I don't know, a light bulb went off in my head right away because I was making something vegan that night. And I was like, you know what? It'd be really funny to do a show specifically for bottoms, because I make these recipes, like what you see on my show is exactly what I actually eat. And I'll eat that stuff and go have sex with my husband an hour later, like not even kidding. And it isn't heavy or anything. And, you know, one of the things that really benefits an audience is solving a problem. And what better problem to solve than this? I know too many people that will just starve all damn day to have sex with someone they don't even know, which, like, each to their own. I do 1,000,000% condone random hookups, but I do not condone putting yourself in misery for that. Like, life's too short. You got to eat. So,
yeah. So I think we actually need to touch upon, and I don't know if we've touched upon this before on In Your Mouth, right? Or maybe today's episode is just called In Your Butt.
A little rebrand for the day.
Yes, hello, right? You know what? You're a graphic designer. Help me out.
Right. Yes. Yes.
No, but I actually don't think we've ever talked about, like, the Bottoms diet. Like, we talk, you know, eventually I will ask you about gay food and what that means, and sometimes bottoming comes into the conversation. But there are kids out there that, you know, will starve themselves all day and then take 4 Imodium. To get banged out, you know, yeah. And all the power to you, right? There's also a lot of bottom shaming that happens, mm-hmm. you know, because you are having butt sex and sometimes poop happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Shit happens always. Like, that's the motto.
Yeah, and I mean, butt sex is great, but I mean, sometimes that happens no matter how much you clean out and prep,
yeah.
you know? So there's that. There's it's just a multi-layered bottom cake.
Yeah.
You know, to be punny.
Yeah.
And so like diet is definitely obviously super, super important. And then there's all these things too, like Pure for Men, which is basically mm-hmm. marketing and branding of fiber pills, right?
Yeah.
So insoluble fiber at that, Pure for Men. And so we haven't talked about soluble and insoluble fibers on the podcast forever. I think that was the Dr. Carlton episode. So like,
oh, wow.
the food aspect of bottoming is huge. And to like the straight audience out there or those who, or maybe the tops who don't understand what bottoming is like, because there are those tops out there who just want to like, shove and stick.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Or why can't we make this happen now? Hello.
Right.
Because I need a minute.
Right. I need a minute. And also, maybe you ate something heavy today or like it.
Yeah.
That's what one thing a lot of people don't understand about our channel, and we're getting better at communicating this to people, is that you don't have to eat like this forever. This doesn't have to be, like, if you're not a vegetarian or a vegan, and we're actually about to even start making meat recipes. I personally am a vegetarian, but I have a test group of 12 people, and they're not vegetarians, so they're about to be part of the people that I test my meat recipes on, but there's a lot of people that are like...
You're testing your meat.
I know. We've gotten some feedback on that test group. And I'm like, we do not fuck our test group. I promise you. We just drop recipes off of them and they keep food journals. But thank you for the...
Well, listen, send me the... I am a single and ready to mingle, so maybe I will fuck your test group.
Oh,
right?
My God. Yes, you got to fly out
because,
to Austin,
Texas. Because, I mean, it's the bottom's digest, right? So, like, we have to, like, see if the recipes, like, work out.
I know.
Right?
So, yeah, I mean, like, to your... So what I was saying is, before I jump too much ahead, I'm having my third cold brew today because, you know, gay men.
Hello.
So what I was saying is that a lot of people are like, I'm not going to change. One, they'll say, I'm not changing my diet for a top. And I'm like, you already did. You don't eat all day. And second off is, you don't have to eat like this all the time. Like, obviously, spontaneity is going to happen in life. You can't plan for everything, all that. But, you know, if you know you typically go home with someone from the club on a Friday or Saturday night, if you have a partner that you know you're going to have sex with sometime this weekend, you know, maybe don't have the cheese queso today. Maybe sub it out with something else. And also, it's also like a ploy to get people into the kitchen because it's fun. It's therapeutic. It's nice to get to make your own stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you definitely really, really make it fun. You actually remind me a little bit. Your style and the way you TikTok reminds me of my gay bartender, Adam Tabalea.
Oh, how cool. I used to be a bartender, so I could see why.
You both love a random reference.
Yes.
You both love, like, you know, the old homo from way back, just pulling random references and random gifs and clips to like enhance the experience of the cooking in the videos, which I fully, fully appreciate. And, you know, still over 3 years later, I guess we've talked about food and sex, but maybe we've only talked about food and sex as far as like, you know, foods that make you horny or, you know.
Got it, yeah.
Things like that. But, like, we've never really dived this deep into sex positivity and eating in a way that, you know, feels good to get you feeling good.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You know, and I was actually not surprised, but very surprised as I did a deep dive that it's mostly vegan vegetarian, even though it looks like you use a lot of butter, but I'm assuming it's vegan butter.
I actually do not use vegan butter now. That's why a lot of our recipes aren't hashtagged as vegan or anything like that because they're vegetarian, because we do use butter, but butter just doesn't have the same effect on your body like milk and cheese and all that, because it's honestly just fat. But I think we're going to start using vegan butter instead, just so that we can start saying our recipes are vegan, because they're legit like one ingredient away most of the time.
Yeah, it's usually the butter.
Yeah.
And you even say you could use vegan butter.
I do say that all the time. But like, we use eggs for some of our baking. I can start using egg substitute also for that. But the thing about the bonsai just is it's kind of a hybrid. It's not really vegetarian, vegan, or anything. It's a bottom. It's specified to be bottom friendly. So like, we test these recipes to make sure they're high fiber. They don't cause a lot of gas. They don't make you bloated. That's really the goal. And then if we can make it vegan, vegetarian, or whatever, that's a plus.
Yeah. I was just like, wow. This homo is doing the thing. And I was like, I was just not overly impressed, but very impressed, you know?
Thank you.
Just scrolling through, because it's also very, very fun to watch. Where did the love of cooking come from?
Well, first off, thank you so much for saying all that. That means a lot to me, for real. It's a lot of work. I mean,
those TikToks, everyone's like, why aren't you on TikTok more? I'm like, I don't think you understand what goes into making a 15-second video.
Oh, my God. It is so stressful getting it to under a minute, even.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
It's so much work.
So what got me into the love of cooking, I've been cooking, I know this is kind of cliche, but I've been cooking my whole life. My family's from Texas, and my mom's family's from Texas, and my dad's family is Cajun and from Louisiana. And, I had been cooking, with my granny in the kitchen, who is from Louisiana, up until I was like five. I just remember her like making etouffee, not bottom friendly, but when I was a kid, didn't matter. Etouffee and like pies and all this stuff. And she passed away when I was 18, and I knew she was a good cook my whole life, but I actually recently found out, honestly, just 2 years ago, that she was like a statewide champion cooker and like won multiple baking competitions in the state of Louisiana and like all this stuff. And so I've been fostered by my family to cook forever, but I think that like genetically it's in me from her. So I love that. But I've been cooking with my godmothers my whole life, my mom. And now, I mean, honestly, when I was 18 in college, I'd have dinner parties at my house. People would be like, let's go out. I'm like, we're broke as shit. Let's all put our money together and go buy ingredients and have a dinner party. So to this day, I still cook at home almost 7 days a week. It is the thing I love the most. And I also, from like 18 to 24, I turned 29 in a few weeks, but when I was 18 to 24, it was a ploy, because I am an ambivert, and sometimes I just wanted to get out of the fucking party and go be by myself, and the kitchen is a great place to step away and go be by myself and focus and just get things moving and let everyone else mingle. So cooking does a lot of things for me like that.
Yeah, and that's incredible and amazing to hear, especially, you know, I myself as well, we don't know each other, in your mouth listeners. Like I said before, you know, I like to meet my guests for the first time on the pod, because it proves for a more interesting and more candid conversation. And yeah, I am also self-taught, and it's just like getting that inspiration from the family, getting that inspiration from maybe restaurants you've worked in, getting that inspiration and putting it to the test in your own kitchen. For example, last night, Food 52 posted some like braised white beans.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
Braised white beans and roasted tomatoes and leeks. And they said something about like, oh, it's next to a soup and it could be like a delicious soup, but it's not. And I was like, actually, that sounds really delicious as a soup. And it's, you know, it's chilly here in New York now. And I was like, that's exactly what I want. So, you know, went out to Whole Foods, and an hour later, super easy, you know, braised a bunch of things, threw it in. And I mean, vegetarian, yes, not bottom friendly because of all the beans. But
I know. But again, if you're not bottoming tonight, then whatever.
Hello, you know, and had a great morning, you know, if you know right. What I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
but like, listen, in your mouth listeners, this goes to my lady listeners who love the butt sex, you know, to the straight men, men listeners out there who love the butt sex, because there are a ton. Listen, you know, butt sex does not equal homosexuality.
Correct. Right?
We need to take the gay out from the sex, because, you know, just because you sleep with somebody doesn't mean that you're homosexual.
1,000,000% correct. 40% of my audience on TikTok are women identifying, which, you know, like, analytics can be tricky because we live in a non-binary world now. Like, what does that mean by women? But it's still really interesting to see. And I mean, even my colleagues that are straight women love the show because they love anal sex and they know what they can do.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely. And my friends with IBS especially love our show because people with IBS have a harder time douching because it can really irregulate them even more. So the food really helps to keep things, you know, moving, but also bound and like held back, like whatever you need for the day.
whatever you need. And I just love the whole thing. And I don't want any of the audience to feel excluded just because we are using the term bottom. You know?
Correct.
And there's such a stigma around anal sex, you know, in the gay world, in the straight world, that it's just like, let it go. Eat some delicious shit.
No,
you know?
Seriously.
And get it in.
I mean,
if you want it in your butt.
Just Wednesday was International Pronouns Day, and I posted a graphic that just said, anyone can be a bottom. And it's one of my best performing things on Instagram. And because from the very beginning, our first video on YouTube was, I say that in our trailer, anyone can be a bottom. This is made for anybody that wants to engage in anal sex, not just gay men. That is a quote.
You need a t-shirt.
We're coming out with a merch store in the fall.
All right.
It's
coming. I expect to get one.
I'm wearing one.
I'm wearing my merch today.
Oh, amazing. I love that.
Just for you. Anywho.
Love it.
Yeah. So anyone can be a bottom. And yeah, I just love everything about it. I love the recipes. All the recipes look super, super tasty.
Oh, thank you.
And you all out there have to check it out. But Alex, I think right now I want to take a break to take you out to my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast. A little something we like to call...
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Food news update! Food news!
Ooh, honey,
you ain't ready,
girl!
Spill the tea!
News update!
McDonald's McPlant is finally arriving in the U.S., but only at 8 locations. I picked this one especially for you.
Thank you. Yes, I love it.
Right? Because McDonald's, maybe not necessarily bottom-friendly, but maybe a plant-based burger from McDonald's?
Yeah, luckily 8 locations out of, what, 50,000? Will now
at least.
Will now be able to be somewhat bottom friendly. We'll see. There might be cheese and the bread probably is super processed, but
You know what? Maybe. And thank you to Food and Wine for always keeping me in the know for my food news. Not a sponsor, but you're the ish, Food and Wine. So thank you for this. So the burger giant announced that 8 locations would offer a limited time test run of the burger, which was made in collaboration with Beyond Meat, but is exclusive to McDonald's, right?
Wow.
So you can expect to see the McPlant in Irvington and Carrollton, Texas, right?
Oh, wow.
It's just down the block from me. Cedar Falls, Iowa, Jennings and Lake Charles, Louisiana, and El Segundo and Manhattan Beach, California, all while supplies last. The burger is vegan.
Wow. Right? Oh, cool.
Served on a sesame seed bun, tomato, lettuce, pickles, onions, mayo, ketchup, mustard, and a slice of vegan cheese.
Wow, look at them. I don't know what made them pick Irvington, Texas to test that on, but I'm going to target Irvington with ads next. So,
yep, there you go.
That's perfect. Right. Like, wow. Oh my God. I just heard today too that Burger King opened their first full plant-based location in Spain. So we're moving towards it.
That'll do really well. There was that big like hullabaloo because they were cooking their plant-based burgers on the same griddle as the meat. And McDonald's is actually doing the same. Like they're cooking the eggs and meat on the same griddle, you know?
Yeah.
So
the world ain't perfect yet. The world ain't perfect yet.
No, no, no. But how do opinions on a vegan McBurger here?
I think the opinion is I can be so shady with this kind of stuff because I hear.
Please do. That's why we're here.
I hear terms like limited run, and I'm like, okay, you assholes, like seriously, like. Let's move away from the meat because, you know, we don't have to go down this rabbit hole too much, but like cattle and global warming, y'all should like maybe
gas emissions.
Yeah, maybe,
you know, maybe. Cow farts are killing us.
Yeah.
You know,
so sometimes I feel like they do it for PR and then they run it in a town like Irvington, Texas, where there's three fucking vegans and then it doesn't do well. And they're like, oh, it wasn't popular. But I bet the Manhattan Beach one will do pretty well. But, you know, we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah. I mean, you know what? If you didn't have time to cook one of your delicious, you know, recipes from the Bottoms Digest, maybe stop in Irvington, Texas for a McPlant.
Oh, my God. And then leave Irvington as soon as you can.
Right? I mean, the DL gay men in Irvington probably are hot.
Ooh,
right?
You never know. Like farmer guys and stuff like that. Yes. But we'll see how it goes for them. Hopefully they roll it out more. Beyond knows exactly what the hell they're doing, though. That stuff is so good. It is amazing.
Yes, I love it. Beyond, I love, and the Miyoko's.
Miyoko's is so good.
Is the best thing out there. Also not a sponsor, but I will, like, if you're going down the route or you want to try something that's, like, vegan and cheese, you know, it is not low calorie by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
It is delicious, and it is vegan, and they know what they're doing. Well, I don't know if Alex and I are here for the McPlant, but if you're... But if you're in any of those eight locations, why don't you write in and tell us what you think, right?
For real, we would love to know, seriously.
Yeah, why not?
I can know if we need to be shadier or nicer. Like,
strawberry Pop-Tarts don't contain enough strawberry. A lawsuit claim.
A lawsuit. Yes. That's kind of iconic. Like...
Somebody has way too much time on their hands.
No kidding. That's an expensive lawyer for something like that, I'm sure.
Listen, I'm sure that it's one of those lawyers, like, you know, remember Celino and Barnes in New York?
Oh, yes. Right? Oh, my God.
R.I.P.
Yes.
Barnes. But, right? But, you know, like these lawyers that like kind of seek these things
all day, every day.
And then, yes, you get paid out, but then they take a big chunk of the money because you're not paying them up front.
Yeah.
You know, for this lawsuit. Maybe, allegedly. I don't know what's happening out there, allegedly. But in a lawsuit filed in U.S. District Courts, Southern Districts of Illinois, that was a mouthful.
No kidding.
Plaintiff Anita Harris alleges that Kellogg's claims about its frosted strawberry Pop-Tarts are misleading. They give consumers the impression the fruit filling contains a greater relative and absolute amount of strawberries than it does. The filing goes on to state that despite strawberries being the product's characterizing ingredient, on the actual ingredients list, dried strawberries don't even get a mention until the contains 2% or less section.
Wow.
They mingle with other items like wheat, starch, salt, dried pears, and dried apples.
Wow. Well, just stop eating Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts. This is going to constantly be a question because you're here.
Oh, yeah.
You are the queen. Pop-Tarts, bottom friendly?
No, not bottom friendly.
Why not? Because of the bread of it all?
Not really the bread.
Or the processed foods of it all?
Yeah, it's too processed. It's super processed. The sugars in it, because sometimes they use, believe it or not, white cane sugar is more bottom friendly than honey and like the the zero, really? The zero sweeteners. Yeah, because the fructose in them cause more gas than just plain sugar. I mean, plain sugar still causes some gas, but not as much as agave, honey, and all that. But they're super good for you, obviously, so you shouldn't give them up for life. But
yeah, I'm on the monk fruit.
Oh, yeah, sugars. Monk fruit is good. But the low sweetener, like the zero calorie sweeteners and all that, those are awful. Like, and sometimes they put like the fake sugars in Pop-Tarts and stuff, like the preserves and the fruit. So unfortunately not bottom friendly. There's too much crap in those that just,
when's the last time you've had a Pop-Tart? I haven't had a Pop-Tart in a million years.
So actually when I was in New York, I had a Pop-Tart because they came back with the wild berry flavor. And that was my favorite when I was a kid. The purple
one. It had the blue icing.
Yes, the one that was like super queer friendly. It was purple with the blue icing. And that one was so cute. So they brought
I love that it was just a queer friendly Pop-Tart.
Oh yeah. Like, it was
Pop-Tarts for the people.
It was like it had like a 90s Nickelodeon mood board with it. It was just so like I loved everything about it. So when they brought it back,
I'm obsessed with you.
When they brought it back for a limited run, I was like, I'm buying all the boxes of these and I'm not getting any action for the week because I'm gonna
Nope, because you probably bought the Lady Gaga Oreos, too.
Oh, no, I did not, actually. I did not. I know, like, that's a hot topic.
Yes, well, listen, Miss Anita, I don't know. Listen, get your money, girl. Get your money, Miss Harris.
But we want 10%. We want 10%. That's on the record.
Well, it would be a class action lawsuit. So some, if we did buy Pop-Tarts and this thing, this whole thing goes, like you could, if you're a Pop-Tart eater, you probably could be receiving a check in the mail.
Get in on it.
All for 2 cents. But honey, it's 2 more cents than you have.
Right. Keep your strawberry Pop-Tart receipts. It can't be brown sugar. It's got to be strawberry.
All the receipts. Yes. I don't know if we're here for this at all. But last and certainly not least, a hacker attacked America's largest candy corn factory this month. But luckily, nothing can stop candy corn.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
nothing.
You, Food and Wine, for this headline. Oh, my God. Are you a candy corn girl?
I do not like candy corn.
It's very divisive.
Yeah.
Candy corn.
I don't. I've had
I like it.
I've had it homemade, and it tastes good. I think that what I don't like about it is if it sits in the container that it's in too long, it tastes like the container and candy corn. So it just ends up tasting like plastic and candy corn. So I think when it's fresh, which like how, that's the other thing is like how fucking fresh is candy corn? Like you never know.
Fairly fresh, I would say, because according to Crane Chicago Business, Ferrara detected the hack on October 9th. Upon discovery, we immediately responded to secure all systems and commence an investigation into the nature and scope of this incident. But the joke was on the hackers because candy corn gets shipped out to all retailers in August.
Wow. That was a really good segue of the fresh statement. Wow. Yeah. That's, well, good to know. Good to know. I can't hang on. So don't eat the candy corn that's at your granny's house that's been there for God knows how long. Buy it in the market.
Buy it fresh.
Yeah.
Buy it fresh, you know.
I might have a new take on candy corn, a new take on life.
What is the flavor of candy corn?
It's like, it like wants to be butterscotch with a lot of food dye in it, I think. And a little bit of like corn syrup. No, that's where like the corn is supposed to come from. So,
yeah, I guess.
Right.
I just looked it up. I don't know, but I was just thinking, what does candy corn taste like? I guess candy corn tastes like candy corn because there's nothing else that tastes like candy.
Yeah,
corn.
It's like it tastes like butterscotch to me. Like like buttery. Like I don't know, chalk.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, buttery chalk. I like candy corn, though. Candy corn, according to Wikipedia, is a type of small pentahedral pyramid-shaped candy, typically divided into 3 sections of different colors with a waxy texture and flavor based on honey, sugar, butter, and vanilla.
Ah.
Butterscotch.
Yeah. Oh, you're amazing. Right. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
You're right. Look at you.
Oh, my God. Where's my culinary degree? Like,
yes, come through flavor profiles, you know? Watch out, Mark Murphy. Alex Hall is coming for you, honey. Mm-hmm.
Hide your degree, because I'm going to take it.
Hide your degree and hide your candy corn, because she is coming. And with that, I think that's the best way to end. Food news update.
Yes. I love that.
Right? Isn't that just like a sprinkle of Halloween joy to your day?
I have so many fun facts to share with people today now.
Yeah, share it with the test group and then share their nudes with me. Yes. And I'll be great, you know?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. This is hysterical. And I am more obsessed with you even.
Oh, my gosh.
More. Alex, let's take a serious turn for a moment, or maybe not a serious turn here. And I always love to ask my guests about coming out because, you know, we as LGBTQ people, each one of our stories is important. The glow up is important. And we never know who we can affect out there, or we never know who is listening, young right. or old. What was coming out like for you?
I love that you called it a glow up. That's so fabulous. So I'm really grateful about my coming out in my life in that way, because I grew up in East Texas out of Houston and like very poor areas. I grew up very poor. My mom had me when she was 18. She had my brother when she was 19. And, you know, she worked at like fast food chains. She was a waitress. She had a million jobs. So my mom appointed us godmothers when we were kids, and my godmothers, I use it plural because they're lesbians and they were together up until I was like 14, maybe a little younger than that, but I don't remember. But they're still best friends. Like, I'm actually at my godmother's house right now. I'm visiting in Houston. My other godmother still drops in all the time. So I was with them Monday through Friday, if not longer, all day, every day. And they tuned in to a lot of my behaviors as a kid. And they straight up told my mom when I was like 4, like, Alex is gay. Like, just embrace it. And so I like came out as a teenager thinking that I was supposed to come out. And everyone was like, you've been out, you've been dating guys and stuff already. Like, what? And I was like, oh, I thought this was part of like I needed to actually say it out loud. So I grew up being gay, which is not the norm. And especially in an area like I grew up in, I was the only gay person that was out like that for a long time. But also, just to take things a different route for a second, especially since I work in politics also, I learned a lot looking back on that, like what white privilege gave me. Also, people didn't bother me a lot for shit like that. I was tall also. And sometimes I really wonder, even if I had been a woman and come out as a lesbian in the country, what that might have been like instead. So I was really grateful for a lot of the stuff I went through. You know, no one ever called me names or anything. And I think it's because I always joke that I have like dark features. So I think people just think I'm intimidating and scary. Like I just look like, I look like a bitch sometimes when I'm just like at school, especially. Ugh. Just like so bored there. But I had a really good coming up like that. So,
yeah, and that's beautiful that you have been surrounded by love your entire life, because not everyone is so lucky.
Not at
all.
And
we need to hear these stories as well. You know, not everything is death and despair.
Right.
Know? Not all coming out stories are, you know, like devastating, or, you know, like it's just some people are lucky. You know, I'm also lucky that I have like my brother and my mother who love me, and I also have a chosen family who love me.
Yeah.
Not everybody out there is. And so to give hope to people that like this is possible, and like it is possible to have love around you, right? Even if you have to create that love around you, you know, it's important to hear. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. And I love that you said the thing about chosen family, because like even in my family, I do have the few stragglers that are just bigots. And, you know, the great thing about being queer people is it's our time and it's our lives, so we get to pick who we want to give it to. So those people that have chosen to be like that, I don't give a cent to, because I have the family that does love me. And then, like you said, I have my entire chosen family too, and they get what's left. So there's nothing left to give to those people. So don't worry about Uncle John or whatever the fuck his name is. Like, who cares about
fuck
him?
Fuck
him.
Yes, and in your mouth, especially if he's hot. No, don't do that. Oh my God. We do not promote incest on In Your Mouth. But no, In Your Mouth listeners, I want you to hear that again. You know, it's our lives and it's our time, and we get to choose who we give that to. That's what Alex said. Take a moment to absorb that. Straight or gay or in between, or not even in between. I don't really love that. Like, or no matter who you are, you know, like, or how you identify, like, it's our time and our lives. And
absolutely.
We get to choose who we give that to. That's like a little gem for today. Absolutely. I love little pearls of wisdom, you know?
I mean, honestly, I mean, like, when people lived in the 1700s, they didn't see these people in their lives every single day and stuff. It's like, you know, they lived across the world from each other. They wrote a letter. They got it in a year.
I love letter writing. Oh my God. I love a letter. You know, send me a letter. Write to me. I won't give you my address. I need to set up a PO box.
Right. I almost said the same. Send me a letter to, never mind.
No, but you can slide into my DMs respectfully or with your nudes. I'm here for it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh my God, Alex, what a great day. You know what? We have often talked about here, Michael Twitty set us on a journey of gay food, and that I really love here, and defining what gay food means. And you probably are the best person to ask about this, because you are the queen of gay food, or one of the queens, right next to me, honey.
Yeah.
How would you define gay food, or is gay food a thing?
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah, I've never really thought about that. Because I wouldn't particularly say the recipes I make are gay food. Again, that's just like when I say that you would eat this if you know you're going to be bottoming later. So definitely, the more I say that, I'm like, maybe it does fit into gay food. But I've never heard that before this today, actually, even gay food. We go many routes.
People have gone the pride route. People have gone the representation route. Michael Twitty, culinary historian, has gone the history route of it all.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's many avenues. And so this is why I really enjoy this conversation, because people are like, and it really gets the gears turning.
Yeah, once you gave me a couple examples, like, yeah, I could see that now. I feel like a lot of queer people find each other in the restaurant industry. I myself, if even been a college dropout, I immediately pivoted into bartending and working at restaurants. And a lot of queer people have similar stories and find themselves in that industry and have family meals with each other. A lot of people think family meal is like just a family at home dinner, but it's actually a term in the industry of like people before they start their shift. And
we always say on the podcast, if you own a restaurant out there and you're serving your staff a shitty family meal, you're a shitty person.
You 1,000,000% are. I've been there where the family meal was just like the worst of the leftovers from the fridge.
The worst of the leftovers, some dried out gross pasta and something heavy that's not going to get you through your shift.
Ugh, you said that.
Or satiate you. But moving on.
Right.
You know, because I could be on the soapbox for an entire episode.
Right. Now that you mention it, I think gay food is, especially with the chosen family thing again, it's a really great opportunity just to get to sit down with people and talk. That's why I wanted to do food, because working in politics was making me really inhumane, and doing food makes me feel really human. So that's kind of like a butchered answer on
no
that,
but it was but great, because it's the first time we've actually heard a restaurant answer in response. So I love that. And you know, it can listen, we are the tastemakers. We have been here forever, right? As Michael Twitty has taught us, right? We've been cooking your food and setting the trends and deciding what you eat
and literally setting the table. Like, literally setting the table.
Hello? You know? So, yeah, I love the answer. And there's no, I don't think there's a wrong answer to this
right.
question.
And then the answer.
You know, unless it's going to be hateful.
Maybe yeah, no kidding. And then the second answer is the bottom-friendly food.
Like, hello.
That's definitely also gay food. But also, that's for everyone. Everyone.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Absolutely. What's next for you? Tell the kids what's next. Give us all the details, all the tea.
Yes. So there's all kinds of stuff next. The Bombside.
Plug it all, honey.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are about to release our website this upcoming week. That's where all of our written recipes will be. We're all about being intersectional. So like we need to be more ADA compliant, all that. So we need recipes that are written for people that have vision and hearing impairments and all that. So so our website's coming out in the next week. The website is also officially going to have a merch store in the fall. We're constantly coming out with new episodes on our YouTube, full length episodes. People see the TikTok videos and they're like, I love this. I'm like, yeah, did you know there's a 10-minute version on YouTube that is hilarious and has like a
really
full,
guides you through it.
Yeah, it has like a full production. And we are trying to be, someone called us the bareback Contessa and I died. I do not condone unsafe sex. However, you know, if you're on prep and whatever, do whatever your life, whatever yeah, your life.
I'm sure somebody on Dirty Twitter has that handle.
Oh, I'm sure. But someone, because our show, we really did take like Ina Garten's like production and made it queer. But yeah, our YouTube, we're always testing new recipes. We're always like 10 recipes ahead, believe it or not. So that's all coming up. And then in the new year, I'm not going to give too much because you got to stay tuned in. In the new year, we're going to do a sub-series, The Bottom Side Just Presents, and that'll be super fun. And it'll, just to give like a little teaser, it'll pay homage to my bartending back days. So, you know.
I love that. The sub-series as opposed to the Dom series.
Yes, exactly. You got it. We had a few people. We just hit 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube today, which is the threshold for monetization. So we are celebrating today. Super excited because getting those subscribers is so hard on YouTube. And once you hit 1,000, they prioritize your channel. And I sent out a discount code to the people that were the last people to subscribe to hit us to 1,000. And the discount code don't worry, because there's only a certain amount. So anyone listening can't use it. I'm sorry, but it's called iSubbed. So it's iSubbed for 20% off. So yes, you got the sub joke there.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love you. Oh my God. Thank you so much for giving me of your time today, taking time out of your busy schedule to come kiki with me.
This was so fun.
To, you know, to let me embrace you into my big gay food family, my gay food housewives, you know?
Yes.
Of it all.
Very New York of you.
Hello. She is the Andy Cohen of food.
Yes.
St. Delaney Kazan watching over us all.
I saw that. I thought that was so fierce behind you.
Oh my God, Alex, you know what? Give the kids all the handles, where they can subscribe, how they can slide into your DMs and see that pretty face of yours.
Oh my God, so nice. Thank you so much. So YouTube, the Bottom Sidegest is on YouTube. It's youtube.com/C/ the Bottom Sidegest, C for channel. Our TikTok handle is Bottoms Digest, and then Instagram is the Bottoms Digest. We don't have Facebook and we don't have Twitter and we have no plans on ever getting either of them. So just FYI, don't try finding us on there.
I think you're missing a market with dirty Twitter. I really do.
I think so too. But honestly, I think we're going to have to like wait till we scale up. I don't think I have the capacity for that.
Well, I mean, no, not a repost. I mean, you can do up to a minute videos there. Just repost.
That's a good point.
Follow all the porn stars. Follow all the porn stars and all the
gosh, you've convinced me. Fine.
That's what you have to do. I'm telling you, it's a missed market, and I give this gift to you as someone who loves scrolling through a dirty Twitter, and I do not post, right? I just love to scroll through and, you know, see see my friend's buttholes.
Yes.
What they're doing out there. Because everyone has an alt account these days.
I love it.
But follow all those people, and then you market to them, honey.
Boom.
It's a missed market.
Fine. I will, Michael. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And then our website will be thebottomsdigest.com when it's up. That's hopefully going to be Friday. We are almost done. For a lot of people that don't know, my husband is my business partner, and he is finalizing all the copy for the website today. So we are almost done.
I love that.
Yeah. Yes. His name's also Michael. He's amazing. So
yes, Michael's at the best.
Yes, for real. He refuses to be on camera with me, though. So it's tough.
That's okay. Well, at least this kind of camera. You'll send me the videos after. You'll send me the videos after we're
for
done.
For $10 a month, you can also
get, you know, the Bottoms Digest OnlyFans.
Yes, we have definitely gotten request where we've thought about it, where we like legit make the same recipes but just naked, like nothing changes at all. We're still wearing the apron. You just turn around, all of a sudden there's ass. But we're not there yet. We'll see.
All right. Well, you know what? There's time. There's still time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm about to start taking pole dancing classes. Let's take one step at a time.
Yeah. Let's. So, oh wow. We're doing it all, aren't we?
So maybe we'll do that first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to see what's next for you.
Thank you.
It sounds like all good things. I'm so excited for you. And I was so and still am so excited to have you here in my presence. So thank you
once again
for coming on. In Your Mouth, listeners, if you're going out for Halloween, you may see me traipsing the streets of Provincetown this weekend for Spooky Bear.
Ooh.
Because last year the trip got canceled and got pushed to this year. And so I'm really excited to be doing that and having my last, you know, my last of the rich white lady New England summers, right? Because I was all over Portland and Martha's Vineyard and whatnot. Other than that, be safe out there. Please be safe out there. You know, tune into the Bottoms Digest if you're going out to try to get it in, especially in costume. You know, there's coat check everywhere if you live someplace cold, so pack an extra set of normal clothes so you're not doing the walk of shame in your, like, hoe outfit is my advice to you. And with that, all I have to say is thank you for listening to In Your Mouth.
In Your Mouth.
I got goosebumps.